This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We're driving westbound on Santa Monica Boulevard.
It is.
By a place of cement pillars.
There's a lot going on, guys.
And in the back seat, we have a guest.
A special guest this week. Special because he's one of my oldest friends, but not dearest. So that's a special situation. It doesn't happen that often.
Oftentimes we start the podcast with a thinly veiled, would almost sound like an insult.
Yeah, that's what I chose to do. It's kind of 90s comedy.
We have a guest today that's not a dear friend.
That's the 90s comedy uppercut.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That he and I are used to.
Yeah, the old 1-2 punch with an edge.
That's right.
Wouldn't you say dearest friend is overrated anyway?
Yes.
The whole idea of my dear friend. That means is that it's a lot of, like, boring times.
Yeah, puzzles.
Puzzles.
Hot tea.
Just at the doorway of somebody's house going, like, that was really nice. I'm so glad we did that. Okay, well, I guess I might see you tomorrow then.
Well, yeah. And if you die first, know that you were dear to me.
And it always smells like doilies in here.
We're talking about grandmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Being friends with grandmas.
Our grandmas are the dearest.
But that's not who it is.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen.
Hi, everybody. Karen was right. I've known Karen for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
How long? How long?
Since...
Details.
2000... Maybe 2000, actually.
Is it?
I think it's 2000.
Wow.
That's when I first moved to L.A., and in that year is when I started going to Largo. So I would say 2000, maybe 2001, but I actually think it's 2000.
See, because I was going to say 89, so that's weird.
What year was it, Fred, when you went to a dance place and took dance classes, like tap classes, and made a video of it?
That was in 1998.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, I did that in 1998.
So it's weird. I've known Fred longer than you. No, I'm just kidding. I equate the internet, watching a video as a friendship.
But it is a friendship.
It is.
Because I'm so shallow, I'm so thin in personality that's all that matters to me.
If people watch your videos?
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Well, you have millions
much
of
more.
Friends then.
Yeah, I've got lots of friends.
Uh-huh.
And Chris, I guess I performed with you at Bumbershoot.
Yeah, I don't know if we were on the same show, but we were certainly in the same venue during the same weekend.
That's in Seattle is where that happened.
Yes, yes. And a lot of people mistakenly say Bumbershoot. Boy, are they wrong.
Yeah.
It's Bumbershoot with a B.
Does it even exist anymore?
I think it does.
I asked exactly the same question.
It does. It's going... It's going great. They have comedians there. I'm sure they all enjoy it.
Huh.
It's just we aren't invited.
Oh, I see. Well, that's fine. I had my time there.
Bumbers.
I had my time there as well.
That was a great...
Now it's like we can actually go back and do a reunion. That's how long it's been.
That's right.
The year you were in it and I was in it also was Flight of the Conchords, Paul Tompkins, Mark Maron, you. There's some other big
you.
People.
Wait, let's go back to the... Wait, who is it? Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
Hello. All right. Really nice. All right. Okay, who's the next one?
It was Mark Maron.
Hey! Fuck it!
Why? Why do people want to do that? Why? That's the why of it all.
Greg Barrett was there.
I only know... God damn it.
You said fuck a bunch of times.
I'm checking your... No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Do it. You can't.
You were there. You sounded like him for a minute.
I'm taking your chain wallet. No, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, dude, you're 40.
Yeah, you're
something like that.
Yeah,
dude. Because you're 40,
man. You're 40. I don't know.
Paul Tompkins?
PFT was there.
Oh, I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown man. That's all I got.
Dimitri Martin?
Dimitri Martin
was there? No, I'm going to just force
hey,
this.
Hey, oh. Why? There's two. There's two here. Now there's three. Ah, but that's the same one.
He's
a street hustler. Was that in the shell game?
I don't know. I drew a circle. Is this a circle?
Was
I think
that
so.
Year that, was Tig there that year?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to give up sometimes. You know, that's it. That's all I got for her.
What about Nick Schwartzen? Was he there?
No, he won't.
Jackie Mason?
I could do
Jackie Mason.
I think I could do Nick talking about the night before. Like, I woke up. That's it. Jackie Mason.
No.
Yeah.
I lost my necklace.
What am I eating? That's all I got. Thank you very much.
It was really good, Fred.
When Tig and I had a cat, I lived with Tig for a while, and we had a cat, and then Nick came over. Did I tell you about this? Where the cat was sick, and its face was swollen, and Tig and I, neither of us had money, and I was really worried about it, and Nick had money, and he said, well, I'll take the cat to the vet. And he came over, and he looked at the cat, and they turned around and he farted on my cat's head. He just farted in the cat's face to where the cat reacted. And then he said, your cat has feline AIDS. And then,
Did he really fart on the cat?
He farted on the cat's face and then decided that the cat had AIDS. That's his two favorite jokes. But then the cat did end up dying of AIDS. Feline AIDS.
He was right in his diagnosis.
It was a few years later. And I'm not saying that's funny, but it was at the time.
I think feline AIDS is definitely funny.
It was. I miss that cat.
Not to cats. You will not ever see a cat laughing at that or at anything.
Mm-mm.
What's terrible about that fart is that animals, you know, cats don't understand human language, but that is one piece of language they understand.
That is.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Clearly insulted by, like, a smell and a sound like that is like...
It's maybe...
That's like the one bridge to animals communication that they're like, oh, I get what that
that's
is.
That's an interspecial insult. Yeah. Insult. Interspecial. Everyone knows what a fart is.
Everyone gets odor.
Yeah.
And gets why
odor,
that's bad.
Shooting odor at someone is like... animals across the world, they're like, oh, we get it.
There's no animal culture where that's a compliment.
Yeah, no.
I'll never forget that reaction. That cat also, I saw him walk into a spider web once, and he acted like a human. Like, he went and looked at his paw to see if there's a spider on him.
Oh, really?
He was like, oh, no. And he was a gifted... He was a gifted cat.
That's the only... And that situation is where all animals in their head say, God damn it. Even cats. God damn it.
Everyone's grossed out by spider webs.
No one likes them.
Mm-mm. So, Fred, you were recently in South America.
Yes, ooh. I was in Colombia.
What were you doing?
Shooting an episode of Documentary Now.
Oh, cool.
What documentary?
We did like a Jiro Dreams of Sushi thing of like a sort of Colombian food one.
Yes. And is it also Chef's Table-y?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I would say it's more like Chef's Table.
I fucking love Chef's Table.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
The one where they cook that thing with the wood? Is that the one you're...
There was one I saw where they cooked something in dirt. Some Argentinian guy buried food. I was like, what is this guy doing?
And he didn't look South American, right? Like, he looked like a white guy.
Yeah.
I loved that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so that was really nice.
Did they use the ground like a kiln or something?
Yeah, and they light a fire over it.
Wow, neat.
I maybe they just did it for the camera and said, like, let's pretend like we do this and we just cook in a kitchen. Yeah. we bury it. To our left, by the way, we're passing the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yes.
Where Johnny Ramone is buried.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a really cool statue there. Dee Dee Ramone is here as well.
I would think they'd be in New York. Aren't they from New York?
Yeah, but you know how, like, New Yorkers are? Like, they all want to go to, like, Miami or California, you know?
To die.
I'm going to do my...
out there with the palm trees and, you know, yeah.
I'm going to do my torso West Coast, my legs East Coast.
Oh, good idea.
Just ashes.
Just please, everybody.
Oh, you're going to split it up?
Sure.
Ashes are just the actual torso. Like, you're going to leave it, like, as a torso.
Oh, that's a better idea. You're right. Maybe I should do that. Just taxidermy them.
Or just go split yourself lengthwise.
Ooh, oh, you're right. Everyone should get an equal. I'm symmetrical. Let's take advantage of that.
Yeah.
It's right down the middle.
Full body part.
Like a tapeworm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do an open casket, and it's going to be just the torso. And it'll be like what? What's the problem?
You're going to be like
confrontational art. Like, yes. What? That's what death looks like.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Look at it.
It'll be a recording of you saying that that'll play as people pass.
I might hire an actor to do it.
And then you can sit in the audience and watch.
Yes. My skull.
Give your own eulogy.
Yeah.
In South America, you speak Spanish well, don't you?
My mom is Venezuelan, so I speak Spanish.
Oh, yeah. I heard you at the taco truck.
Yeah.
You knew what you were
doing. I was showing off.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you doing Castilian lisp?
I skipped it. I went right for...
When he was like, those tacos, por favor, everyone. But then he started asking really specific questions, and I got lost. But
what is the expiration date on that mayonnaise, ma'am? Yes. Stuff like that?
Yeah. Yes.
Very, very specific.
Yeah.
She seemed very frustrated.
She clearly hated it.
But you have to do Noches con Platanito.
I know, I want to do that. I really do.
What is it?
It is a show that I still don't know why I was asked, but it's a Spanish-speaking, I think very popular in South America, even more so than Mexico. But also Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it's their Jimmy Fallon type show, and the set and everything looks like a regular talk show, but the host has clown makeup.
Yeah.
And a pink wig. But he's very funny. And he shaved my mustache during the show. That was my idea, but he shaved it into a Hitler mustache.
How is he skilled enough
to do it? How does someone... That's a hard thing to shave somebody.
I know. But then he said, oh, Charlie Chaplin. It was fine. Everything was fine.
This is an American show? It's a South American show?
It was. It took place here in Los Angeles, but the viewers of it are mostly in Mexico and South America.
All the lines are getting blurry, Karen. And it's all getting blurry.
I don't like it. I'll say it.
And there was
you,
a translator.
You can eat sushi here and not be in Japan. I just interrupted you, friend.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. What about sushi in Japan?
Just how the lines are all getting blurry.
It's exactly.
You can have sushi here. You can have sushi, you know, in Italy.
You can have a hamburger on a fishing boat in Fubai.
It happens.
I don't know if that's true.
Now we're going up towards Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
I love LA so much.
For real?
I really do. I've always loved it. And for some reason, I feel like Sunset Boulevard is like the center. That's like the kind of main street of LA.
Well, it goes all the way through. East side of the west side. All the way.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I don't even live here because I live at the dumb beach.
Yeah, that's right. All the way out. Wait, Fred, now when you lived here and you would go to Sunset Boulevard, mm-hmm. what's the first place you think of that you would go? To the mean streets of Sunset Boulevard.
Like, when I first moved here and stuff?
Sure.
I remember somewhere in between, like, where Amoeba is and like that whole I'd say
Ivar. Sunset and Ivar.
Sunset and Ivar.
Yes.
You went straight to Ivar's seafood restaurant.
And then as it dips into like Silver Lake and all that, it's just, that's a nice feeling, you know, little places you can get breakfast.
Yeah.
I like it. And then going west, I like it when you just end up in Beverly Hills, you're like by the hotel and everything.
It's a higher cut of person, you're around.
Higher cut of person.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe better. More, yeah. Maybe foreign, maybe they're from, you know, China or... maybe they're of Saudi.
No, Karen said a higher cut.
higher cut.
It's fun to pretend racism.
It's pretend.
It's like blah blahing or demons. What is it?
Exercising.
Energy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh. That's what podcasting is all about.
I'm chasing away any real thoughts that maybe would happen to me like that, but they don't.
Hey, while we're doing this, really quick, everyone out there listening, listen to podcasts. Get out there. Get a podcast.
Please.
Listen, please. You know, we do this for free, but people should start getting paid for it. Get out there. Tell your friends that there's a podcast out there for everybody.
Any podcast.
And
if you like it, rate it on iTunes.
Fred, what's your favorite podcast?
Yeah.
There's one called The Trap Set, and it's a drummer who interviews other drummers. But
that guy
loves
our podcast.
The Trap Set. He loves it.
He goes into it.
And it's this drummer who interviews other drummers, but there are no drums in the room, so it's not like people show off what they can do. They just talk about what their experiences, and it's really cool.
Have you done it?
Oh yeah.
And who's the host?
This guy named Joe Wong. That's his name.
And was he in a band?
He's been in a number of bands, but he has a really nice voice, and he's just really good at interviewing people. Very calm.
Yeah.
He's very calm, asks people about their experiences, and he doesn't get all hyped up and crazy.
Right, right. Like morning zoo radio?
Nothing like that. And he also doesn't do duos, which is like the worst way to do a podcast, which is like, sorry, sorry,
no. I,
sorry, that's
real.
What I'm known for.
We're also trying to find energy,
no,
and I do my traffic
talking
report.
Talking about us, comparing us to Joe Wong.
Sorry. What's wrong with my traffic report?
Sorry.
It's really rough.
You book me. This is the kind of thing I do.
No.
Everybody knows this is what he does.
Karen and I were saying we need some tough love. We haven't had any of that.
Yeah, we just got some.
Yet on the show.
Now, when you are on a show like that, a drumming show, do you do, since there aren't drums, do people end up playing their chest the way drummers love to do?
No.
And going boo-doo-ba and stuff like that?
No. It all is like, what are your influences? Who did you used to listen to? Who did you want to be? And what is your drum set like? And where you know, what's it like dealing with bass players? Like that kind of thing.
So if you don't play drums, maybe it would be like my future skateboarding podcast, kind of boring, right? If you don't.
But for drummers, they love it.
It's right. Like, of course.
You know, they love it. That's such a specific audience.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you can get so specific with podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a skateboarding one.
Yeah, I was almost going to make a joke like, it's not for fans of blank. Like, I was going to think of a Teeny Bopper band.
Yeah.
But you could instantly, like, age yourself by, like, what reference you use. And I don't know the right reference.
Right. I don't anymore.
Do you know
either.
What I mean? Like, I don't have that person to go, like, it's not like a blank podcast. Like, I don't know who to bring up. Who is, like...
Hanson wouldn't work?
No, you can't say.
No, it would not work. Justin Bieber wouldn't work.
Justin Bieber wouldn't even work.
And I can't even think of the one that would work. And I don't even know if it doesn't.
No, we don't.
Fifth Generation.
We literally don't know the name.
We don't know. Whatever...
What are they called?
There is... Out there, there's a reference that someone would be like, you guys... Why didn't you say blank? I don't know.
It's a band called Blank.
Yeah.
And we've never heard of them.
I really, really don't know. You can't say Zac Efron. You can't.
He's not a band.
You can't.
I think he's like going to win an Oscar soon.
You can't.
You know who would know? It's like my niece. My niece for Halloween last year was one of the girls in a show on, I think, the Disney Channel called Descendants or something.
Uh-huh.
But I know that as a band, and I know that as, like, a couple other things. So wait. I was like, sorry, what did she dress up as? It was the weirdest thing.
No, I think I've heard this before. I think I've heard this as a reference before. And you're right. I was like...
this is the joke I'm doing these days.
Yeah. It's not Milo Goes to College Descendants.
No.
It's something else Descendants.
Right. Yeah. And it's also not the movie. Not the new... The movie from 4 years ago or whatever.
Nope. It's little girls with kind of Madonna-style lace in their hair and black nail polish. Doing stuff. I'm not even sure what they do.
Yeah, that is something specifically you would not mention on the drumming podcast.
No, never. But, I mean, to have it be so popular, she dressed up as it for Halloween, and I did not know.
Isn't that a weird feeling? You're like, yeah. I officially don't know what this is.
Because when we were growing up, the stuff that you liked was adult, because there weren't things specifically for kids, really. Except
right.
for, like, the game Operation and a couple other things.
Right.
It was, like, five things.
Yeah. Yeah, we all shared that.
We were forced to share things we didn't even like.
Yeah.
Fred, did you ever go to the 99-cent store when you lived in L.A.?
I think I went in there once thinking I could... maybe something for, like, pots and pans kind of thing. And I did not like it. I was very... It was a fine place. I don't mean to say anything bad about it.
Too late.
But there's nothing there that I wanted.
I made the mistake of getting a bag of limes there. Do not buy produce. if you're looking for canned goods and some new type of frijoles, I took Spanish in college.
Nice.
And then don't get any produce.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, it was bad limes.
But while we're on this, let's talk about college. Guys out there,
guys,
go to college.
Go to college.
Get out there. Apply.
Tell your friends about college.
Tell your friends. You never know.
They're you can get in.
All over the country. You can get in. It is the best.
It's graduate school, junior, whatever kind of college you can find.
You know, apply to an Ivy League one. You never know.
You don't know.
They need students. They need students.
Just like you need to learn.
Should I mention what I know about financial aid applicating?
That's another level, but it's easy.
It's
financial aid is like this.
Do.
You fill out a thing and they go, okay, we're gonna give you your education for free.
Here's how much my parents make. And you can lie.
Yeah, they make $5. They go, great, here's free money.
Easy, great.
That was easy.
But they benefit because then you get smart and you go work for the government or whatever.
Right.
Everyone wins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get out there.
Get out there.
What if there was a podcast that taught you everything you needed to know in college?
I would call it Prep for College. The podcast.
That'd be a good title.
Colon spelled out.
That's a long podcast, though. That'd be that's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
For some people, it'd take like 7 years.
So much to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you took winter off to go skiing, especially. Did you ever, Fred, live in, for reals, in Portland? Is that a dumb question?
No, it's not a dumb question. I do live there.
I've been asked 95 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't ask me that. No,
I'll get out.
I'm there every summer.
Okay.
And I've been there every summer for the last, you know, whatever, 6 years or something. So in a way, yeah, I mean, I'm there for quite a few months.
So the show hasn't been on quite 6 years.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
sir. Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Holy cats.
We just... This is the sixth season. I know, it feels like yesterday for me. For me, it does. It feels very new.
It's gone so fast.
Went very quickly.
Yeah.
It's so you had lived there already for a little while before?
No. I'd been there a lot. But
yeah.
When we started doing the show, then I started staying there.
It would be so fun to have an excuse. Like, anytime a job comes up where you get to move to a place that isn't L.A. or New York, it's so fascinating to me.
Right.
I love that idea, where it's almost like you get to go and just live in a normal town with normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Go see what that's like for a while.
I agree. And then you also, if it's enough time, you kind of get to know it a little bit. So that if anyone ever says to you, hey, I'm from this place, you can actually say with some confidence, oh yeah, I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm. You could even say to them, I know more about it than you do.
Right.
Which is a fun way to start a conversation with a stranger.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, listen to this know-it-all.
I like to challenge people when I meet them.
You know, originally it was the capital, and it wasn't a city-state. Did you know that? And the dollar bill was designed there? Did you know that? And they're like...
they're like, wow.
Wow.
I don't want to be
confronted this way.
This first basketball party. Game was played here. Did you know that?
Did you know that?
I let that state, just the, like, by the beach there, it's almost tropical. There's, it's so green and there's ferns. It's just the best state.
Do you mean Portland?
Just Oregon in general. Oregon. I just like
it's
Oregon.
It's very all lush. Of Oregon. It's very, yeah. Like, lots so of trees.
Great. I feel like my skin is being actively rehydrated when I'm there.
I feel like I'm breathing for the first time, right, yeah. When I cross the totally. State line.
I also feel kind of safe. I'm like, I don't think anything... It doesn't seem dangerous.
Right. No.
And there's a lot of ladies in clouds, which I respect, and it makes me feel at home. Fleece and clogs? Mm-hmm. Come on. You never get that in L.A.
Now, clogs, are they always real wood soles?
Well, if you get Dansko, which are the quality ones, then yes, that's going to happen.
Don't settle for some of those other plastic clogs.
Right now, we're near the Vista. Let's all tell an experience, if we have them, of mm-hmm. times we went to the Vista. I saw Van Helsing there and almost had my ears blown out of my head. The audio, it was so loud and sharp. Do you remember Danny Ceballos?
Of course.
I was there with Danny Ceballos, and I stood up in the middle of the movie and said, I will not stay here anymore. This is insane. And I left without him and went home because I was so angry about how loud the movie was.
I'll go next. There's a movie with Halle Berry. I think it's called Gothic. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. I saw it there. Gothic-attica. Never mind, I saw Gattaca there. No, it was Gothica or Goth.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a scary movie, and there was a drip in the ceiling, and things were happening, and I would feel these drips, and it was coming from the ceiling, and I also wanted to leave because I was horrified.
During the movie, you were getting dripped on.
It was raining, yeah. And there was drips, and then within my popcorn, these drips. There was just dripping.
That's not good.
So there, the end.
Fred, do you have a positive Vista story to help this out?
I can't remember any movies I've seen there. I just remember one time I shot a little music video with Charlene Yee in the front of it. Mm-hmm. So my memory of it is now just it on video. Like, I remember that, how that looked, and it looked so nice. But as far as walking out of a movie...
come on, guy whose car that doesn't belong to him.
There's a siren, just for people listening. There are many, many fire engines. Many, many. There are police cars and ambulances. The ambulance drivers are bloody. Something really terrible happened.
Oh, no. Well, we'll drive the other way.
We'll drive the other way. It seemed really horrible. Once the ambulances were on fire.
They're going to call that the sunset bloodbath.
Yeah, the sunset bloodbath. They're going to call it that. I could feel it.
That was horrible.
It was horrible. Oh, hello?
Guys, 1984.
Guys, I can't take this call right now.
No. I wish you had. Hello, 1984.
One time at the Chinese theater, what's that, Grauman's?
Yeah.
I went to see Lord of the Rings with Bob Odenkirk.
Fun.
And we both went, and I never read the books. I don't know anything about it. And all of a sudden, we both realized we didn't know what was going on. So I was like, what happened? There's a river, and there's a ring dropped in, and I was really... It was too much for me. And then I didn't know that Bob felt the same way. And he was like, what's going on? What is this? And we both left.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
I love movie stormouts. I don't know why. That's like my favorite.
I love it. It's a very, like, I don't have to do this.
That's exactly right.
You can't take my life away from me.
I did that in like Water for Elephants or whatever, that Robert Pattinson, Reese Witherspoon
Water
movie.
For Chocolate?
No.
There's an elephant one that came out?
Yeah, it was more recent.
I don't remember that one.
I think that...
Like a circus movie?
The elephant one is a better exchange for some water.
Yeah.
Than just some chocolate.
You but get carry more on. Water
carry
for
on.
Elephant.
Carry on.
It's a really powerful feeling to do that.
Yeah. You're kind of tearing up $13, but you're also saying, I don't accept this as entertainment. What's fun?
You can't do this to me.
I can't think of a movie I walked out on. I'll sit and watch something even if I'm not enjoying it. I think I'm lazy that way.
Well, I enjoy bad movies, but then if a movie isn't good bad, then I'm out of there.
Oh, yeah. I walked out on the Beatles one where it's like kids doing Beatles karaoke.
Oh, yes. Across the Universe?
Across the Universe. I was afraid. I did not enjoy that. I didn't understand
what was happening in that.
It was children singing. It was like karaoke.
I remember that. I never saw it. But what happened, like, was it like people just reenacting some of their songs or something?
Yes, it was like a rock opera. Is that? I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah, a storyline with these kids that you don't care about. Just a gaggle of Zac Efrons, and then they're singing.
Yeah, people were very Efron-esque.
Yeah, they're very Efron-y. It's one of the more Efron-y movies for him not being in it, and a lot of Beatles music, but none of it by the Beatles, which I didn't realize till then is a prerequisite for me enjoying the Beatles, is it having to be them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up on the Beatles in Missoula?
I sure did. Yeah. My parents really shoved those Beatles down my throat. I mean, a lot of Beatles and a lot of jazz. My mom liked very frenetic, what I call flippy toe jazz, mm-hmm. the kind that made me nervous and like you're running errands.
Oh, like paced up kind of.
I mean, like today,
soundtrack to an anxiety attack.
Flippy toe jazz.
Now, Fred, have you ever been in a jazz band in all your years?
I have never been in a jazz band.
Do you care about
I'm not
jazz?
A fan of jazz drumming.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I'm not either.
It's too
just all over
like whimsical
place.
And like it never. It's on purpose. Won't do a beat.
Mm.
So I'm like, is there a reason you don't want to hit anything twice in a row? It's like
it's funny.
It's like. Skiblip.
Skiblip.
I need some, you know. That's what I hired you for, drums.
Yeah.
That's why I bought this record, so here's some drums.
People have called me the jazz drummer of comedy, because I'm
like that
with my jokes. I never tell them the same, and they don't always quite hit.
How do you guys know each other?
I was the one who made up Chris's title, the jazz drummer of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he confronted me on it one night.
Yeah, and I just brought it up just now.
I think we made friends through Greg Behrendt.
Yeah.
I think.
When I very first came here and just visited and stayed with Howard Kramer, because I started in Austin, so I'm kind of an Austin comedian, and I met you at Lucy's Laundromat.
Oh, right.
But we weren't friends till a handful of years later.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember those shows at Lucy's? Those were good.
They were.
I remembered having visit. I was visiting and went to one, and it did scare me about the future of me doing comedy in L.A., because I thought that all I was going to be doing is shows where there's people not paying attention while they're folding their socks in the background. I thought that was going to be all comedy.
I always thought that part
surprising
was,
people with comedy.
I thought that part was upsetting until I would get on stage and then realize that was actually the fun part, where you're like watching a young mother just trying to get out of there and take her laundry and go, and then you would see them like start to titter, and then you're like, oh, I did my job. It's a different job than normal, but I did it.
Yeah, I guess I would like it now. Maybe.
Should we go back and perform?
Should we do it right now?
I mean, it would be the same as the show was back when there was an organized people were asked to go there.
That's exactly right.
But for some reason, maybe the people who are folding laundry, that's how they enjoyed comedy shows. So if we went back, they'd be like, oh, we know what you're doing.
Oh, we love this.
I remember this. Thank you for bringing it back.
We miss you so much.
Are you still doing the same bits? That's what they say. They kind of know some of them.
Are you looking at your notes still? Oh.
The 90s is over. You shouldn't do that anymore.
It's funny. Your mom's from Venezuela. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So I, you can do that accent, but I felt very uncomfortable doing that accent.
I'm just going to put that out. I think I'm really good at it.
I don't think I'm so good at it.
Yeah, I think we're all welcome to it. Just like know. Same thing with accents from India. Everyone does it, you know.
People get very uncomfortable these days.
Oh, they should. I'm getting uncomfortable about thinking about someone doing it. Oh, don't do Indian accents. Hank Azaria, looking at you. No, come on. He's the best.
He's pretty good at it.
I loved him since Bird on a Wire.
Bird on a Wire.
I'm gonna skate on that.
Now, Fred.
Yes, Karen.
You also were in France.
Wow.
Yes, I was working.
Is that private news?
I was.
Should we edit this part out?
No, I don't care. I was in. I was working in Italy, and.
At your restaurant.
The pasta place you mm-hmm. opened.
You know, that was like a dig. That was like a little bit of a dig at me. And I love it.
Yeah.
And then I just took a little trip to Paris. I hadn't been there since I was a little kid. Boy, what a nice place.
Pretty good, right?
It's really good. It's such a cliche to say how beautiful it is, but it really was. Those buildings are incredible.
Is it clean there? Like
It's just cool. And
they don't
like,
have people peeing everywhere, huh?
No. It's really nice.
It like looks like Europe, but like polished and nice.
They're fancy people.
Yeah.
Does it seem like they have a handle on mental, like you don't see mentally ill folks running around like in America? I'm guessing that they take care of their people.
I imagine that I was probably in the areas where you just don't see stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure.
Sure.
You know.
I always imagine that, I don't know, socialized.
Well, I wonder if they still have social services.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yep.
You should have them for people.
Yes.
But the mental health issue in Shanghai and China is huge. And anyone out there listening, it's a huge deal in Shanghai. Please, anything you could do to tell people that there's a mental health issue in Shanghai, please.
What is the issue, Fred?
The issue is that it's going too well. That there are no... That no one has mental health issues there.
Oh, so we should be jealous.
Yeah, then we'll be able to get the word out easy.
Okay,
we should be jealous, but it's upsetting.
Right.
You're the ones that have been Shanghai here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do just classic jokes like that. That's why I'm
in it, like a really deep voice.
Yeah. I'm the one that's been Shanghai, and then I make a face that is unnoticed on podcast.
Yeah, no, they could hear it.
Your cheeks cracking as you make a weird face.
Dry dermis. Oh. He really mugged it up there. Sounded like popcorn. Are you hot?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just getting like strangely...
No, it's getting foggy. Yeah.
Why is it getting so foggy?
I think because we're near the ocean.
it's the weather.
Why does it get foggy near the ocean?
I think that when a cold front and... I give up.
And a warm front?
Yes, that's it.
Love each other very much.
When the water pressure,
fog,
right?
Baby.
But what happens to the vapor? Then it vaporizes what? The water pressure does what?
It goes up.
Right.
I think, which is and how it has, we have.
So why is that like condensation? Because?
Because it's wet.
Right.
Because it's heavy and it comes back down.
I like.
Because it's heavier.
Yeah.
Because it's heavier than what?
Right. And that's how a hot water balloon works. That's how it rises.
And please, please remember to throw hot water balloons as much as you can.
If you see something, say something.
You know,
about hot water balloons.
Right, yeah. Not about...
We don't see that enough.
No.
Hot water balloons.
No. Like to where you're like, oh no, that's... And then it's like, oh, that was body temperature. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking scalding. Like it's a prank... Because you already have the prank of throwing a hot water balloon.
The flap of their skin kind of hanging off.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was hit with a scalding hot water balloon.
Just scream.
Sorry, I'm late.
Scalding hot water, the description of it is so, it's so about human pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like saying extremely hot or boiling. It's like this will scald you.
Scalding.
Scalding is, hot water.
It's horrible. Like scalding is the...
Yeah.
It's the definition. It only describes that one thing, like the word full blown. Describes, of course, water balloons.
Oh.
No, I was still talking about...
I'm sorry.
I guess you're right. People say it about AIDS.
That is true.
But I was going to say a full blown hot water balloon.
Yeah, full-blown hot water balloon. Full-blown air balloon. Full-blown tire.
Right.
Right?
There's a lot of different.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be AIDS. Okay, I retract my statement. Oh, we know you guys aren't really doing anything.
They're like, let's just pull some cable up.
Yeah.
We just watch some street. We just watch some street workers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I always forget.
Yeah.
They had yellow vests. Often, yeah. Remember that from Falling? Did you guys watch that movie Falling Down?
Yes.
I liked it when he got mad at the construction workers. I think about that scene in a movie more than. You know, because I'm quick to anger. You know?
I never saw it. I never saw it.
You know me to be very angry.
And, but you'd never shoot random people on the freeway.
I keep my anger deep. I spend it on myself until the right person comes along. And so I haven't met anyone yet.
You know who's very angry? It's Fred.
Oh, yeah. You're negative, man.
I'm an angry, angry person.
She's kidding. You seem super positive. Is that... Do people accuse you of being positive all the time?
Well...
Because you seem like you might...
Scripture... One of the first...
Scripture?
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was Bible-y.
Thank you.
Scripture. Well, Scripture... that was enough to make me nervous.
I know, Scripture is a very nerve-wracking word.
Did you go to church when you were young?
Barely, a little.
Yeah. Were your parents church-fearing?
Not really, not at all. I mean,
we kind of
went as a family for a little while, and it just fizzled out. We just all of a sudden weren't going anymore.
You all were like, over it.
Yeah, we're like, done it.
Bye.
We went.
Did that last year.
We get it.
God is over.
I got interested in a youth group in high school because it was a free meal on Wednesdays, which for some reason that was a day that was hard for me to have dinner. I'm not kidding. And then there's pretty girls there that from school that I otherwise never would talk to. So I went for the wrong reasons, but then got caught up in all the doing stuff. Work camps.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I first went to Oregon. And it was really fun, but they never stopped. If they ever stopped and said, hey, have you read this Bible and all that? I would have been like, oh, no, not really. I'm sorry. Do I have to leave now? They didn't care.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was a real low-pressure situation.
That's how they do it.
Yeah.
That's how they get you. Yeah.
I have a saying. Attract with honey.
Is that your saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I've heard it.
You're a good driver, Karen.
Really?
Isn't she?
Yeah.
Really, though?
Yeah.
And good, have you noticed, at being able to talk and drive. I told Fred I'd freeze up.
Well, when you're driving?
Yeah.
But when you're driving, it's a very, like, you can actually, if you were being interviewed, it's very disarming, you know? Because you're very much your real self when you're mm-hmm. driving.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a truth serum. A lot of people have admitted to committing crimes on our podcast.
And so now we'll ask you the question, Fred.
Yeah.
I committed a crime recently.
What?
Ooh, it worked.
Let's hear it.
What did you do?
So I had a house here,
mm-hmm.
sold it, moved into a new one, right?
Okay.
The house closed, the one I sold, on this one day, but then the tenants weren't in yet, but I had an extra key. So they were like, will you give them the extra key? And I was like, how am I going to do this? And I really was trespassing. I used my own key to get in. I trespassed into literally someone else's home.
Mm-hmm.
I technically, that was not my house, nor did I have permission. And I dropped off the key and left.
Wait, did you take anything?
There was nothing in there. It was an empty house. Nothing to take.
But you did trespass around a little bit before you left?
No, ma'am. I was so paranoid about it because I was like, this is actually not allowed. But it was the most efficient way to do it. It was the right thing to do. Like, that's the safe way to get a key.
Sorry, so you opened the door, went in, put the key in, and left?
Yes.
And no one else's belongings were in there.
You right.
There's...
Well, why couldn't you put the key, like, under the door or, like, in the mailbox?
It wouldn't fit. There's nothing like that.
There's no
you know, mail slot or anything like that. It was just, like, a sealed door.
Couldn't have been done.
Wow.
In the way that I would have wanted it to. I want it just up on the counter.
Yeah.
You know?
I had permission. Never mind. I did the same thing, but I took a bolt washer and dryer that I bought 5 years ago. I haven't lived in the house for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was for sale, and I saw the washer and dryer in a picture, or Tig sent it and said, look at this house now. And I'm like, there's the washer and dryer. So I got in there through the realtor and took my washer and dryer without talking to the new owners. The home was in escrow, so I did commit a crime.
Yeah, you have just implicated yourself.
Who owned it? Who owned the washer and dryer?
I don't even know, and I don't care. It's my washer and dryer. I bought it, and they would never, the old renters would not ever reply to my calls or requests to go pick up my washer and dryer. They were holding it hostage and using it.
So you got it.
I did get it. But the joke's on me because it tears all my underwear apart. The dryer.
Oh.
I hate some of the things I've said on this episode.
I like what you said.
Well, it's just, I didn't realize that was going nowhere. Just about torn underwear.
I feel bad because did you want to ask me anything like interviewee?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fred?
Yeah.
When you saw how you were CGI'd in Zoolander 2,
mm-hmm.
did you say to yourself, this is the best acting that I've done, or did you say the computer was acting for me?
I felt like now I have fused and merged with technology. So we, as a bionic entity,
mm-hmm.
together we performed. I performed with technology.
Oh, wow.
And was your character supposed to be a child, or did you have a disease that made you very small?
My character was supposed to be a child.
Okay.
I think the line he says is, I'm 11 or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was the name of the disease.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was not the name of it. Yeah.
Chris, any interview question you want to ask?
Well, I didn't see Zoolander 2. Can it be about something else?
I think it should be.
It should be.
Okay. What's Carrie Brownstein like?
She's
cool.
She's a purist.
Yeah.
She is intelligent,
mm-hmm.
Funny.
She is that.
Definitely from punk rock school.
Sure.
She is a dedicated friend. I'm not going to use dearest friend because that's how we started this whole thing off.
So
I'm not
going to.
That would be. she's very to the point. You know, she's.
She's no shit gal.
Yeah. And I wish I had one of those better words. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say...
Like effluvious?
Yeah, she's effluvious.
She's bellicose?
She's bellicose.
Well, I don't know those words. How do
I don't really know what they mean. They're just words I remember from...
Wow.
She's a great person. And...
Is she litigious?
Litigious?
I think that means you'd like to sue people.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
Is she avuncular? That means she's like your old uncle.
Oh, I thought I meant have trouble breathing.
Both in my
is she funky?
how funky is she?
How funky is she on the funk scale of Hillary Clinton to Parliament?
Wow. She's right up there with Parliament.
Is she up there?
Yeah. Wow. If you mean Parliament in England, thank you very much, Fred Armisen.
That was an amazing
thank you very
turn.
Much, Fred Armisen. And
I did not. Right,
thank you.
I didn't.
Thank you very much.
See
thank
that
you.
Coming at all?
Thank you. Thank you.
Do
all.
You have any interview questions you want to ask us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Do you think you'll always live in Venice?
No, I don't. I'm getting very close to feel... I feel like it's affecting... It's prolonged the amount of time it's taken for me to get as happy as I am now. I think I would... It's... My career is taking a longer time.
Because of Venice?
Because I live so far away and I stay over there and I'm not hitting the bricks every night.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like waking up there. I like being by the ocean. There's something, as a human, I like being by that air. So, do I want to be happy during the day or productive at night? Does anyone have an answer?
But we'll leave it at that.
And then, yeah.
Karen?
Yes?
You have two dogs.
It's true.
Do they roam wherever they want in the house, like up on couches and beds, or are they like, do they have like designated areas?
Basically, the house is theirs, and I hang out in their house.
And I'm going to back it up by saying, and I think it's almost a problem. There's one piece of furniture available in the house, and it belongs to the dogs.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple chairs. I live...
Simply so others may simply live?
I would say a borderline monastic life in my home. And the dogs are just having a great time. My one dog, George, has eaten a whole couch. So I didn't want to get another one.
It looks like after Heathcliff eats a fish and there's just bones, but it's a couch.
Yeah.
It's a 2x4 shaped like a couch with some fabric draped over the side of it. Ah, it's the best.
I've really learned to let go of earthly possessions.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your dogs have learned not to let go of earthly possessions.
No, my dogs have learned to do whatever the fuck they want.
To grab onto them.
Yeah. It's their world. I'm kind of like an LA parent with my dogs. They just get to do whatever they want. And I sit and pretend like they're not doing it. I respect that approach.
I've seen you discipline them when they run outside and...
into the street.
Your dog licked that baby.
I know.
A lady was walking her baby in a stroller and the dog just ran up.
That's her favorite thing. Georgia would... If I could give George like a 4-year-old to lick all day long, that would be her favorite thing. She'd be so happy.
A strange baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best. Oh, that's fun to remember.
Well, Fred, do you have anything you want to plug? I feel like this went quickly and yet... I feel like there's still an air of mystery about you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's good. And I'll tell everyone out there, get out there, be mysterious. Get out there, do your mysterious thing. Tell your friends. Keep it going.
It's a good idea. What are your upcoming... When does Documentary Now come out? Or what's your
for a while. I mean, we have some more to shoot.
I watched one with Bill Hader that was... I didn't. It was based on the sisters or the moms.
Oh yeah, from what's that? Grey Gardens.
Yeah, that was great. That was so funny.
That was great.
You guys.
When he fell through, he's the one that fell through the ceiling.
Yeah.
So funny. It's so good.
No, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to see you guys.
Well, we're so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for waiting. Thanks for...
My pleasure.
From our taco truck.
Yeah, he got tacos right before we started, and he's just letting them get cold, and you have them in your pocket, right?
I'm going to eat them right now.
That's how we're going to end the podcast.
Yeah.
It's taco time.
What are they filled with? Cat food.
Why?
That's what they make. What?
That's the kind you wanted. My mom did that to me once at school, I ate, took a bite out of my sandwich and it was cat food, and I thought it was a prank my mom played, but then I got home and there's a can of deviled ham right by the cat's dish. She just mixed them up. But I ate cat food. My friends thought my mom was real funny.
It's a pretty good prank.
It is a good one, but it wasn't on purpose. Fred, thanks for being on our program.
Thank you. And here's a prank I did on you guys. I disconnected my mic at the beginning of the interview.
No!
He's that a bitch.
I still would have been able to salvage the room, Mike. So the joke's on you.
This has been Do You Need a Ride?
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R.
Hands down the best tape.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.